Is it a heavenly follow-up, or should it be damned? We watched Resident Evil Afterlife to see if we could redeem it. Were we successful? Find out after the theme.
Good to be bad, so bad it's good. What's this movie? Do you think we should? It's got bad dialogue, dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Hello and welcome to the Rufus Project Presents Redeeming Features podcast. This time checking out Resident Evil Afterlife from 2010. I am Trevor Holland and I am joined by my very good friend and co-host,
Christian Fletcher. Thank you so much, Trevor, and everyone who's watching, whether it's current or delayed.
Indeed.
Thanks for this opportunity. It's always good to get back to the studio, if that's what we can call it in these times.
And for those listening to the recorded version at the end of this, Christian was referring to the fact that Patreons get to watch a live stream of us doing this. So we, but more about that later. That's fine. That's fine.
That's an incentive cool. to become a Patreon subscriber.
Absolutely. You get to see us do this live. I don't know if that's an incentive or not, but we'll just assume it is. So before we go any further, I do have to add that there will be spoilers about Resident Evil Afterlife. So if you don't want that movie spoiled, you should definitely go watch it before you listen to this podcast. I don't know if there's much to spoil, but anyway, there will be spoilers.
I was kind of waiting for the sounds of people scurrying away. That was just going, we'll insert that later.
Okay, yeah, good old post-production. Cool. So with Resident Evil Afterlife, I just realized I forgot to grab a synopsis, so I'll quickly grab one now. While still out to destroy the evil Umbrella Corporation, Alice joins a group of survivors living in a prison surrounded by the infected who also want to relocate to the mysterious but supposedly unharmed safe haven known only as Arcadia. That description made it sound like the infected wanted to relocate.
I think I was infected watching this movie. Let's digress. that plot summary pretty much sums it up, Trevor. And it's interesting. I've written here in my notes, I went in blind to this, but I know we've watched a couple of Resident Evil movies. That shows how much of an impact they've had on me.
Yeah.
But 2010, I thought this was a bit more of a recent one in the series, but I was mistaken.
It's number four, Christian. We watched three of these. We have watched three of these.
That's
before we get to
this
one.
Blocked it out.
Wow. I may make comments about that myself later. Now, what we like to do is we do like to see if these movies got any sort of recognition. So I've got the awards here that Resident Evil Afterlife was nominated for and even received. So the Directors Guild of Canada, it was nominated for its production design and sound editing. The Genie Awards, big name ones here, it was nominated for Best Achievement in Sound, Best Achievement in Art Direction and Production Design, Best Achievement in Costume Design, Best Achievement in Makeup, Best Achievement in Overall Sound, and it won a Golden Reel Award, mainly for its distribution. So that's very interesting. The People's Choice Awards USA nominated it for Favorite Horror Movie, and the Scream Awards had Mila Jovovich win as Best Science Fiction Actress.
Interesting.
Not a Razzie.
Interesting hearing horror.
I
was going to say, interesting hearing horror movie brought up in one of those awards. There must not have been many horror movies that year, but
well, you know, it's got zombies.
Yeah, and I was really surprised. I'm probably treading on some of your trivia here, Trevor, but I was treading on trivia, Trevor, but oh, that worked. I think it was like a $60 million movie and it managed to make $300 million, which I was quite impressed about. But again, as you mentioned before, it's the fourth movie in a series. You've got that built-in audience that want to see the movie continue. So whether the box office is something I can give credit to, or probably just people interested, like people going and seeing the recent movie in a franchise. So
yeah, quite possibly. Well, that does go nicely to our turkey trivia, where, as you mentioned, hang on, I'm getting my notes back up here.
that's the only note I have here.
Yeah, it did have a budget of $60 million. It did has made at the box office $300 million worldwide. It's rated 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. So I guess just a little above average, according to IMDb.
Yeah, anything under six.
Yeah, well.
fair enough. Some of my favorite movies are two. So I shouldn't say two.
Indeed. So, but with this one, after seeing footage of James Cameron's Avatar, Paul W.S. Anderson was so sold on the idea of making a film in 3D that he and his crew spent 2 weeks in pre-production just learning how to properly use a 3D camera system.
Wow. And honestly, yeah. Trevor, going in blind with this, well, blind, as a single movie, I wasn't aware that it was released in 3D and it really didn't show. So
there was some definitely... I think I'll mention a bit later, but I'll just say it now. There were definitely some shots that were just like...
as much as some of them, like Jaws 3 and things like that. But yeah, yeah, that's interesting you say that. So but that would have been around that period where, 2010, where they were kind of milking the 3D for the next generation, I suppose.
Yeah. It had a couple of cheesy 3D shots, let's say, but not too many. Now, during the filming, Mila Jovovich, also Paul W.S. Anderson's wife, accidentally shot out a $100,000 camera. Well, they did have shooting lots of things, and it was in 3D, so I guess she was aiming the barrel straight down that camera. So, yeah.
I wonder if that was taken out of their pay at the end. So we've deducted this.
She's the director's wife. She wouldn't have had to pay for that.
And that's how much money the movie made. I'm sure they could cover it.
Yeah, I think they were good. And the last bit I've got here was Wentworth Miller jokingly admitted that he was nervous about his character, Chris Redfield, being similar to his Prison Break character. But the thing is, in both cases, you meet him, he's in a prison, and his first lines in both Prison Break and this movie are, "I know a way out of here."
Oh, my God. Well, I Googled, because I know Wentworth Miller from Prison Break, but I even Googled it, and Prison Break ended the year before this came out. So he was still in that, I can't remember what his character's name is, but in Prison Break, but he was still very much in that mode. And but it was good seeing him in there, a familiar face, aside from
I don't mind a bit of Wentworth. I'm a big fan of Legends of Tomorrow. He's very good in that series. Now, as we mentioned before, this is the redeeming features, where we take movies of questionable quality, performance, or just basically whatever, and try to redeem it. But to do that, we do need to set a baseline. So what I've got is a baseline review. So I jumped on the internet and I found this little doozy. The title of this review is Dire. The title is the only way to describe this movie. I enjoyed all the others to a certain extent, but gave up even pretending to watch this load of tripe half an hour in. It's a disjointed, plotless excuse to have Jovovich parading around on screen and a number of gunfights. That's what seems to be the grand point of the film. Don't even bother. 1 star.
Interesting. And look, not one step too far ahead, Trevor. That reminded me of something that I haven't written down here, but I was thinking is a lot of times you've got to think with the standalone, a movie with, as part of a franchise or a series, is do they work as a standalone movie? So a lot of that was going through my head. So a few of the things said in that made me think also too, you were feeling like you'd come halfway into a season of something. But as you said, we've watched three movies before and how quickly I've erased them from my brain. But continue.
That's the one thing that I did, because it does, I mean, it has a very stylish slow-mo in the rain kind of intro thing going on there, like with everyone walking around the umbrellas. Yeah, yeah. And this one chick standing in the rain without an umbrella that nobody seems to notice until she goes and starts eating people.
When it started panning up the legs, I'm like, oh, is this going to be Milad Jovovich in some fancy get-up doing something? But yeah, no, it wasn't. But no, yeah, it was clever. And then it did that typical going from that right into a narration, and that sort of that pre-credits lead-in, even though it wasn't necessarily a pre-credits lead-in, because we were back in 2010 when they were still having credits over the front of the first scene, which is, I always find nowadays, jarring to see.
Very true. But I mean, that voiceover that Miller brings in, it does actually gives you a nice summary, I guess, of the story so far, pretty succinctly.
Well, that was good for me, because I'd forgotten so much about the other movies, so I was so thankful when she came in with that.
Yeah.
And that's very considerate of audience members who are seeing this as a standalone movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that was nice. And again, like you, there was, I could not remember much about the previous movies at all. I think there was even a bit further in where they had like a black and white section of Mila thinking about what happened in the previous movies. I was watching this going, I have no recollection of this scene whatsoever. This just went in one side and out the other.
Oh, I'm glad it's not just me. Earlier, I'm like, I just remember us reviewing one of the movies and it was just her walking around a whole heap of corridors shooting, trying to shoot things. I'm like, I think that was the previous movie. But yeah, so I'm glad you feel the same way as I do, Trevor. So yeah, the narration was good. And like, and that's the thing going in, like you mentioned, we'll end up talking about it, but the set design, the cinematography is actually really good. Like, I think it was a big thing around that time. I do remember seeing a lot of movies around the 2010s where they had the whole bullet coming out of the gun going really slowly past the camera. There was a few of those, you know, when glass shatters really slowly. And there was a lot of that stuff going on. But I've got here, slow-mos came up quite a lot. So I did appreciate that in terms of a cinematography type of way. And I think because in a lot of time I was just looking for a plot, so...
Fair enough. Yeah, there was a lot of stylish slow motion in this, especially in that, I mean, you have the initial bit where they kind of set the scene with the big base under Tokyo, where that initial scene was set several years before the action in this movie. And then you have Mila come down and apparently die. And that's when I remembered that in the previous movie, they did set up that Mila had a whole bunch of clones, and so we get to see
oh my god, that sounds familiar, Trevor. I needed you to remind me of all this stuff before I watched.
Which is why we have multiple Mila Jovovichs just running around, showing the world that Paul W.S. Anderson wants to show as much as possible just how hot and athletic his wife is. Skin tight suit.
She looked amazing.
The entire thing, yeah.
She was gorgeous and kick-ass as always, and I almost thought she was going to maintain the ponytail, but it didn't stay. But I thought the two Mealers was clever and very well done, you know, like how they did. Yeah, it was a clever way of doing it. And I think even, I don't know if I'm step going a bit later on, but when they had shots of the blood cells, you know, when they zoom in and do all that sort of stuff. So they definitely got us in the first 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. That's stylish stuff. We meet the big bad quite early on. Good old Wesker doing his best. I can't remember who the actor is. But he was definitely, you could tell that his performance was inspired by the whole Agent Smith in the Matrix, I think. Very much that, very emotionless, going to be very serious.
So, it's funny you said that, because there were so many Matrix, I'm not a big Matrix fan or know much about it, but it's funny you say that. I've got a lot of Matrix references from this, or not references, but similarities.
Yeah. So, yeah, the stylized
post Matrix, everyone would think that.
kind of had a bit of an impact, shall we say, on movie making after that first Matrix movie came out, and it does show a lot in this one. The big fight. We get reminded that Mila had superpowers in the previous movies after she gets injected by this Wesker character, who says, it's now neutralizing the stuff in your system. You no longer have your powers, but yet she still still survives a massive exploding helicopter crash. Which is like, okay.
All I can think in the back of my mind is, you've got to come back for the next movies. We know they're happening.
Well, this was like the first
2010. We didn't know what
that was. But she could blow it up in a helicopter in like the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. But like, that's what I was saying. The first 10 or 15, they definitely did the whole lead-in thing. I was half expecting about that time where it just came up with a Resident Evil Afterlife title screen, but it didn't. But like, you know, the effect, I mentioned the effects with the bullet and things like that, but there was some scenes like, you know, where the Hollywood sign was all burning. There was some really convincing CGI, and then there'd be certain shots of LA and you're like, maybe not as convincing. And then the zombies start to come in and you're like, I remember now what the other movies were about. But the zombies you wouldn't go in thinking these are zombie movies, because it's really not a dominant part of the plot, well, at least in this one.
Yeah, it does rely, I think, very much on knowledge of the previous movies or the game series, because after all, it is based on loosely on the Resident Evil series. Game series. Are you going to do that every time we mention a game? I've lost my train of thought now, but that's fine. That was fine. That was more awesome than whatever my train of thought was.
We're up to the zombies, but now Trevor, you know who is the other actress that comes in, and she's been in the other series. I know the actress. She looks a lot like Mila Jovovich, and I think I think I spoke about this when we did the other movies. The girl that comes in, that's the I've got here the other actress that turns up who looks so much like Mila Jovovich.
Indeed. Really, so that's Ali, Ali Lata. She actually gets to be one of the characters named after the game series. Because you got Claire and Chris Redfield, their brother and sister from the game series. I think initially with the first movie, they didn't really want to bring in game characters, but they kind of gave that up after. By the time they got to the second movie, they realized that people wanted the game characters. Ali Lata as Claire, and she gets to be nice and feral when you first meet her. When Mila lands in her apparently never running out of fuel airplane, she just flies everywhere. She's up in Alaska, then back in Los Angeles. It's like, where are you refueling? Are you refueling? Does your plane even need fuel?
Characters through a lot of stuff.
And she just keeps on flying and films herself doing little narrations as she flies, looking for this mystical place called Arcadia.
Well, there's that scene. I took note of it, with that scene where she meets up with the people at wherever it is, and I was thinking it was so anti-Hollywood. Like, there was one girl she met, and she said, I wanted to be an actress, but things went really bad. And then the other character was like, well, I was rejected from Hollywood for doing this and this. And I was almost like, I get the feeling that somebody who wrote this is really anti-Hollywood, but hey, I don't know.
Quite possibly. It may
have just been a whim.
Yeah, but you don't... You can kind of tell that there's when she does get to this prison where Wentworth is down the bottom, more locked up, a la Prison Break, you can kind of get a feeling as to who's going to make it and who's not, and who they're going to set up in a certain way. Like, there was a younger Asian actor who was kind of there. It was just like, they're not spending any energy on this guy. He's going to die. And they spent a bit of time trying to build rapport with the failed actress, and it's just like, but it still seemed quite light on, and sure enough, she gets to have a bit more of a dramatic death rather than just being ah. They spend a great deal of time talking about how slimy and unpleasant this guy who apparently is a director is. So you're thinking, okay, he is going to get out and they're going to come across him where he's going to, you know, apparently be the more powerful one before he meets his deserved death, which of course, you know, you can almost tell by the amount of effort they spend in the characters and how much setup they do for them. I suppose how long they're going to last and if the death is actually going to be anything meaningful.
And that's the thing, you sort of got to the point where you're like, yeah, you knew this was just going to be a by the numbers type thing, where it sort of started to, it came to me quite early on that this is really just a whole movie stretched out about them trying to leave this place to get back to Arcadia, etc. And again, it was one of those things where it felt like the plot was just a little plot stretched to an hour and a half. But thankfully, it was an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, that whole prison section, I think, was probably a bit longer than it needed to be. It was like quite action-y after that point. And then you had Mila traveling all over the place, apparently being spied on by a satellite because... why not? And then she gets to the prison and it's kind of just like, we're in these rather not exciting rooms, but hell, there's noises in the walls and stuff like that. Like, they kind of build that up. And then you also have the giant zombie just rock up with a giant axe for reasons. I know it was from the game. It was from the game. But there was absolutely no context to explain why this particular zombie...
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. It was just there.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. I think they sort of flesh this out as more of a, we've got a escape, so let's throw as many things in. And, as you said, they threw out a lot of references to the movie a long time ago. But in number four, we'll throw some more in that people might recognize, but... I'm sure it was probably a stage by now where it was art imitating life imitating, like they were making games based on the movies that were coming out. I don't know if that was a lot to do with what was happening at that time.
Not with Resident Evil. The Resident Evil game series pretty much kept doing its own thing. So and the movies kept doing their own thing. It was with tangential references and the occasional bit thrown in for the gamers. Oh dearie.
Unless the gamers might remember that there's no references to it.
Oh dear me. Actually, one thing I'll just bring you to this now, because it's one thing that bugs me with most zombie things, because I think you have that intro and then it said like 4 years later, from when this one chick went and started biting people in Tokyo or whatever it was. And it's like, okay, we know the zombies like to eat people, but what do they do once there's no one left to eat? I mean, how are all these zombies that have apparently eaten everyone but these bunch of survivors in this prison in Hollywood? They're still very active and very energetic for zombies that apparently are desperate to eat this small handful of people. And they don't turn to each other, so it's like I never understood that about zombies. Yeah, I've never understood that about zombie things. It's like, well, no one ever explains how do they survive when there is nothing for them to eat, because surely they're just going to waste away. If they're already dead, they're just going to waste away and fall apart. You know, this.
Hey, just going to be a problem. Trevor, zombies aren't supposed to exist, so suspend disbelief. But I know, understand your thinking.
Yep. Bugs me about all the zombie things. All of them. Okay, I got that off my chest.
No, but good point. Oh, my God.
But then, you know, when the action picks up again, it certainly does pick up. I mean, of course, I got the, you know, small group of people facing a horde of running zombies, and we get to see that Claire, Alilata, when they're fighting the big axe zombie person, she can pull off some of the fancy wall jumpy kicky things that Mila does. So you're probably quite right, they are quite similar.
Yeah, I always thought, and I'm like going, oh, what? I'm not supposed to think that, probably. I'm not supposed to compare people to other. Yeah, I did get it. But I do remember thinking that when we've watched the previous movies as well. I don't know.
Yeah, they've got to give Claire stuff to do, because, again, she's actually an important, you know, to appease the game fans, because she's an important character in the series as a main protagonist. So, you know.
Yeah, and she's been a big part of the series, because I remember her, so she must have been a big.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, they have their dramatic escape, because of course they do. And when they get to this ship, it's this Arcadia ship. It's like, it's completely empty and dead and quiet. I think they should have just turned around and just yeeted straight back out again, because as they get further into it, it's obvious that it's owned by the evil corporation and is an obvious trap. But they just walk straight through those doors. You think they know by now. They don't seem to learn their lessons.
It's trying to get you under its umbrella.
Oh, boy.
But by this stage, I was like, oh, my God, finally something's happening, but something of worth.
Of Wentworth.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's also, I think, you know, where we get our big bad guy come back, the Wesker guy, for the big Matrix-style finale with lots of slow bullets and him dodging the bullets. It's like, this isn't just inspired by the Matrix. This is directly ripped off the Matrix. But, yeah, but Wentworth and Ellie, Chris and Claire Redfield, they actually get to have a decent fight scene together against the bad guy. And it is pretty well done until they both get thrown in tubes.
No, I was thinking the same too. It was well done and very well choreographed, but yeah, until that happened at the end.
Yeah, and Mila had to say the day with her magic coin shooting gun. Like, nothing else would kill any of the zombies, but she turns up with these guns that shoot coins, and it's just like, yep, she wins.
That's such a video game reference, though. I love it.
It is. It definitely is. So, I mean, they didn't really do much with them, but I did notice there was another thing that seems to be traditional with all the Resident Evil things, and they had a couple of zombie dogs hanging around. I do remember that they seem to have much.
Oh yes,
to do in previous movies, but this one.
Dogs last time.
Yeah. But they didn't really seem to do too much this time around. And when they finally did it, when they finally did attack, they were pretty much taken out very quickly. So I'm thinking, okay, well, they threw the zombie dogs in for tradition's sake. But aside from that, there really wasn't much point.
Hey, Trevor, we'll petition for them to have a spin-off movie one day, I think.
Oh, yes. A zombie. Zombie dogs. And, you know, of course they win and they free everybody who was frozen on the ship or something for experiments. And I'm thinking, okay, so Arcadia is a safe place to be now, but the one thing I did see lacking on that ship was anything resembling food.
Oh, you don't know how many people have already been lost already. But yeah, I did actually think something similar.
Oh, I've gone blank. What was I going to reference? I was going to reference something just then. Oh, yeah. I could make a, you know, because I'm sure plenty of people died with the experiment, so I could make a Soylent Green reference, but I may leave that one just there.
I have to watch that movie again. I haven't seen it for ages. But I know what you're talking about, Trevor.
Yes. cool. And
I thought you were going to say a Titanic 2 reference. Yes, we've watched that. Sorry.
Yes, we have watched Titanic 2. And I was actually, and I guess the final thing that I'll quickly mention was because we get to the credits, I suppose, soon after that, is that we actually got a mid-credit scene. You know, teasing. Because they really left it pretty much, they really left it like, look what's happening. This is what you're going to see in the next movie. Didn't leave much doubt that there was going to be.
Because I haven't looked at the sequels, Trevor. So how much long after? I know. I'm trying to think. Was it Redemption was the next one? 2013. I may be wrong.
I don't know if there's 6 or 7.
I don't know how long.
There's at least.
So yeah, they were definitely playing the next one. Or has been playing the next one.
Yeah, I think there's 2 more to go in this particular franchise.
Yeah.
So did you have anything else that jumped out?
So, tell us whether you want us to review these again.
Oh, you totally know we're going to review these again. Was there anything that you thought jumped out at you throughout the...
Nothing else to add, Trevor.
Yeah?
Nothing else to add unless I give away my redeeming features or what I think is good or bad. So I'll be quiet for now, even though you'll probably ask me soon.
Well, I'll probably ask you right now. If we finish chatting about the movie, we need to talk about if it's redeemable. So since I did choose this one, Christian, please let us know your thoughts.
No worries, Trevor. And okay. I did circle a couple of things. I didn't want to say it too much earlier, but that first review you read out, I believe it was the baseline, the 1-star review, and she pointed out, what I've got written here is the sound. I loved the score of the soundtrack. Cinematography, great. Set design, great. Now, that doesn't really say too much about a movie. But I think I mentioned even earlier on about how it didn't necessarily work as a standalone movie. And that's always a big decider in a franchise. And I think being the 4th movie, it obviously was a segue from the 3rd to the 5th. But I just felt as a standalone movie, it just wasn't enough to sustain, plot-wise, a 1.5-hour movie. Thankfully, Trevor, it was quite short, which is good. But Mila Jovovich, always gorgeous and kick-ass as always. And what have I got so much? Yeah. My notes, and I'm going to read them out. Cinematography was good. Can't say much about the rest. I'm going to read that. That was Christian of a couple of hours ago. So, yeah, Trevor, I'm going to put this down as irredeemable, unfortunately.
All right. So Christian has given us not redeemable. Ooh, no pressure on me. Okay. So,
sorry, Trevor. That's what you get for giving me
a go first. All good. I think there's a delay that's causing a few issues, but that's all right. So this movie, definitely it did have some style, and it was also a really dumb movie. It did have some very tacky 3D shots and stretches of not much happening with a bit of cliche zombie flick stuff thrown in and some stuff for fans of the game as well. When the action did start, though, it was enjoyable. Even though some of the set pieces got so over the top, I was literally laughing at some of the stuff that was happening. The main players, Mila, Ali, Wentworth, they all did a serviceable job, except for Wesker, As I mentioned before, he was trying very hard to be a baddie from the Matrix, and the final battle directly ripped off the Matrix. But look, this movie has many, many faults, but I've got to admit, I really enjoyed watching this dumb movie. It was a fun, dumb movie, and you know what? I had a good enough time to push it just over that magic line, and I'm going to say it's redeemable. Yes, I had a great time.
Look at the.
I finished this movie.
Look at it. It's
yeah.
Oh, can I? Nope. Well, I wasn't expecting that, and I feel like a bastard for going it's the other all good. Way. But it's good to have the other feedback. Oh, here we go.
Yep, officially it's a split decision. For people on the live stream or Patreon,
yes,
we've got a tacky banner. Oh, good. So there we go. There we go. So we can't, we haven't come to a definitive answer as to whether or not it's redeemable. So if you want to find that out, you're going to have to find that out for yourself. Woohoo! Now this is the redeeming feature, so
hey, a big decider, Trevor, is always the end of the year, movies. So this being our first for the year, so you never know. This could end up being quite high up there. You never know.
It could. But yeah, we do like to finish on a high point. So regardless of our decision, we do like to finish with a 5-star review. And so I had a bit of a dig around.
We need it.
So the title of this review is Great Fun. More tub-thumping action from this never-ending ultimate zombie thriller. The type of movie you can watch regularly. So full of fluff that you will forget the plot within a short while of watching it. But great nonetheless. No artistic merit at all. Just sheer fantasy nonsense. 5 stars.
Well, hey, they exist.
Yeah.
They had fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was similar to what I thought, I think, to be honest. I know it's a bad movie, but it was fun. but we should move on from Resident Evil Afterlife. Absolutely. People can think whatever they like, even if they're wrong. But we do need to move on. We do need to move on, Christian. So since I picked Resident Evil Afterlife, it's up to you to decide what we're going to try to redeem next.
Oh, no, I hate this part. I feel like so much pressure. Look, I have a list or a, let's just say, Word document that I work on throughout the year. And I opened it recently and went, I've been hearing about this movie or, let's just say, TV show that it's based on quite a lot lately. So I thought, let's watch this. It's been on my to-watch list for a while. So I remember when this came out. So we're going back to a movie from the 90s. It's a Disney movie, believe it or not, that was based on a hit 60s TV show. So we're going to the 1997 Christopher Lloyd movie, My Favorite Martian.
Ooh, okay.
Which apparently was fantastic by the reviews, but lost so much money that Disney disowned it straight away. So I thought, yeah, let's check this one out. So I think it might be worth a viewing.
Okay, so My Favorite Martian, and I suppose the good thing there is it's a Disney movie, so we know it's available on Disney Plus. However, if anybody out there who doesn't have Disney,
that's available on.
Yes. But having a quick peek here, you can also rent or buy it on Amazon, Google Play, the Microsoft Store, and Apple TV. So should be an easy one for people to watch if they would like to let us know their thoughts about the redeemability of My Favorite Martian. Look, I'm actually a bit of a Christopher Lloyd fan, so this is going to be interesting.
You got out easy this time around.
Sorry for anyone watching the stream, by the way. This delay is obviously getting worse. This is why editing is so important in podcasts when you're recording over the net. Christian, you do things more than just record witty podcasts about dodgy movies. Do you have anything that you wish to discuss coming up in the foreseeable future?
Well, with everything up in the air at the moment, and no matter when you see this, always head to christianfletcher.com. We've got some watch parties that we do every Friday and Saturday night while people can't go out during COVID times. But if you watch this 30 years from now, I still recommend go to christianfletcher.com for all of my upcoming events, but there'll be more stuff happening soon. So we do a lot of 70s, 80s and 90s themed parties online to sort of keep people going during this difficult time. But as I said, 10 years from now, still go to christianfletcher.com. There's no .com written down, but you get the idea.
I'll have to add that banner for next time.
Yeah, don't have to. It feels instinctive.
Fair enough. And of course, if you're interested in more of this awesome stuff, you can head to our homepage, rufusproject.com, where you can find all of our previous episodes, as well as the episodes of our sister podcast, What the History, that I do with my wife, Susie. We'll be take a look at two bits of bizarre history. Every time we can. Sorry, we're not on a regular schedule at the moment.
Recommended.
Yeah. And of course, definitely consider signing up for the Rufus Project Presents on Patreon, where you will get to see live stream recordings of all our podcasts.
Yes.
You'll get early access to our new podcast episodes and a heap of bonus content. You get everything with the base tier, and if you choose to give us a bit extra, then we just love you a little bit more, and you become our favorites.
And you can see more of Trevor and
Christian.
Hey, dude, it took me a while to work that out.
Oh, it still throws me off. And now, if you do want to get in touch with us, you can find the Rufus Project Presents on Facebook as well. You can leave us comments on our webpage or our Patreon site. You can find our emails, and it's so easy to get in touch with us. Just get in touch with us. Say hi. Let us know what you think. Let us know your thoughts about Resident Evil Apocalypse or My Favorite Martian, or if you've got any movies that you think we should redeem, then please let us know.
Please Very do. Cool. There's plenty out there, and I'm sure we've only touched the surface, even though we've done quite a lot.
It's a never-ending thing. This is like an eternal curse that we chose to do this. And on that pleasant note...
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Rufus Project Presents Redeeming Features, and we will be back in the foreseeable future to see if we can redeem My Favorite Martian. As always, thank you so much, Christian. This has been fun.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Always a pleasure. Even if the movies are terrible, the company isn't. So thank you, everyone. And thanks to Trevor. I was going to say thanks, Trevor. Thanks to everyone watching.
Awesome. And we will catch you next time. Farewell.
They don't want to conquer us. They don't want to study us. All they want...
Oh, not another ticket.
...is a place to crash. Now, an unsuspecting Earthling... ...has a new roommate.
Let me down!
As you wish!
And he's making himself part of the family.
I don't believe we've met, hi.
No. He's a Martian.
Martin?
Yes, correct. Martin. Uncle. Martin.
Evidence of a spaceship, an alien in human form?
I'm ready to blend in now.
Isn't it wonderful?
Tim, what are you doing up there?
My Uncle Martin's in the hot tub, and I'm watching.
What a strange family.
But the more they get to know each other...
Martin!
The more it becomes clear...
zipper trouble.
They've got to find a way to get Uncle Martin home.
After them! Quick, make it smaller! Hang on!
This spring...
Hey, spaceman!
I've been discovered!
Easy? Sorry about that.
Friendship...
You're a good human, Telhair.
...is making a world of difference.
Now turn the other cheek!
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Come on! I see light ahead!
Where the heck are we?
Hey, honey, where's the newspaper?
In the bathroom, right where you left it.
Elmo, we're out of air freshener.
Uh-oh.
Do it. Do it now.
Make us bigger!
Disney's My Favorite Martian.
Creatures, but we want to know what a redeeming feature.
Boy? Oh boy.
Christian and Trevor on the case, watching movies from all over the place. I'm the bee, says it's bad, but we want to know, is it fun to be had?
Boy? Oh boy.
Redeeming features.